This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Did a Hollywood brat keep his dismembered wife a secret from all of his friends? And did he have an Asian fetish? Their words, not mine. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Sam Haskell is an aspiring filmmaker and son of renowned Hollywood executive. May Lee is a former model and student at California State. The pair find love, and within a couple of years, they welcome three children to their California home. But things go awry when May suddenly goes missing.
May is not missing. May is dead. Her torso, her headless torso, found in a dumpster by a dumpster diver. She's not missing. That beautiful young mom of three was brutally murdered and dismembered, and based on what we are learning, she may have been dismembered while still alive. Let that sink in. We're learning a lot about the so-called Hollywood brat. I'm always a little suspicious when someone is introduced, and instead of telling me about themselves, they start telling me how important their dad is. Straight out to Gigi McKelvey joining us, host of Pretty Lies and Alibis. Gigi, who is Haskell's dad? Excuse me, the fourth. Haskell the fourth. Who is Haskell the fourth's father?
His dad is a former Hollywood executive that was very successful. And it seems like his son followed in his footsteps, wanting to be in the business. And he comes from a very prominent and well-to-do family.
Yeah, when you say a big agent, his dad, Sam Haskell III, Emmy Award-winning producer, represents, was it William Morris? George Clooney, can you get any bigger than that? Dolly Parton, there's so many that I can't even name them all. But I'm always a little suspicious to Nima Ramani, former federal prosecutor turned trial lawyer, author of Harvard to Hashtag. Nima, we have put a lot of people on the stand, and the jury, of course, is a sole judge. It's their province alone to judge credibility. They're the trier of the facts and the law. But when you introduce to someone, you go, yeah, this is Sam Haskell IV. His father's a really big deal. They're multimillionaires, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean about him?
Well, it means he was a Nepo baby born on third base, Nancy. So he probably never had to work hard for anything in his entire life because his dad was a very successful agent at William Morris Agency, former CEO of the Miss America pageant, I believe. Obviously, he talked about some of the dad's clients. So this isn't someone that had to work hard for anything that he achieved. And maybe that's part and parcel of the problem here.
Okay, we're seeing this guy right now, and I haven't even gotten to the dismembered body. Okay, this is a married father of three little boys. Not judging, but he didn't work a lick in the sense that his wife May paid the mortgage. She paid for everything. What is it that's so irritating me? Maybe he's charged with murder and dismembering his wife, but he's really hitting me hard with the Kim K selfies here. Let's listen from the horse's mouth.
I went to a tech conference real quick, you guys, by mistake. And the number one thing they talked about was consistency, like be consistent. Now I'm consistently never going to stop drinking.
Okay, be consistent. I'm never going to stop drinking. Here is a grown man with three children. I mistakenly went to a tech conference. Why isn't he out working? Okay, let's watch more.
So epic. It's like an epic vampire move. Like, pull up in an Escalade outside Paul Wesley's crib. Kids are like, Dad, where's Mom going? What's Mom doing? And she's like, oh, she's just going to go chill with Brad Pitt. She's going to go chill with Brad Pitt for a while, maybe go to a concert.
She's not chilling with anybody. She was dismembered. We don't even have all of her body. And her parents, who moved from another country to come and help May since she was working so hard to support Haskell IV, they're missing. We don't even know where their bodies are. Now, that's from Sam Haskell's very own official social media pages. Let's just look at a little bit more.
If you see me typing really fast, like looking really productive on my laptop, just like typing, chances are I'm just typing random letters and numbers.
You know what? I would have to call my husband's mother and report that he's not really working. He's just sitting at Starbucks typing random numbers. Did you hear what he just said? I'm about to introduce you two of his friends. One of them worked with him on movie projects, which from all I've heard, he and other guys just do good guy, bad guy in the backyard with some very expensive movie equipment. The reason I'm showing you these videos is because sometimes it's very hard to reconcile what you're seeing, this guy, Haskell the Fourth, with what the prosecutors are saying, what law enforcement is saying, that he has murdered three people, including the mother of his three children, and dismembered them and gotten rid of their bodies. A series of flukes led us to May, his wife's body. A series of flukes. If it had not been for some day laborers and a homeless guy, a dumpster diver, we would never have found her torso, and we would never have known what happened to May. What about her three boys? How were they supposed to grow up trying to figure out if mommy was dismembered while she was still alive? Now, I've tried to argue this to juries many, many times, that sometimes it's hard to reconcile what you're seeing. Here's a good example, Scott Peterson. Right? I watched him every morning strut into the courtroom. He looked like the star quarterback just walking in and all puffed up. Many people, not me, but many people thought he was good looking. He's got a college degree, a great job, full insurance benefits, a loving family, just beautiful wife, a baby on the way, a gorgeous home. Could he have done this thing, murdered his wife, Lacey, and their unborn child, Connor? It's hard to look at them and reconcile the facts with what you're seeing. It's as if the eye is tricking the mind. Let's watch Haskell the Fourth again.
Shouts out to the waiter at the restaurant above Nordstrom's for just like completely burning out of my filet. Like, what kind of a monster are you, homie?
The entitlement. Nima Romani. I mean the entitlement of complaining about a steak being overdone at the restaurant above Nordstrom. That was probably a $50 steak. Please play it one more time.
Shouts out to the waiter at the restaurant above Nordstrom's for just like completely burning the out of my filet. Like, what kind of a monster are you, homie?
What an entitled little snot. That is from Sam Haskell's very own official social media page. Nima, remember what you just said about Nepo Baby? Explain.
Nepo Baby is someone who rides their parents' coattails. And when I said this guy hasn't worked a day in his life, the jury is going to see that, and they are going to absolutely hate him. This is no Scott Peterson or Luigi Mangione. This is someone that is going to come across as unlikable. I don't know how the lawyers tasked with defending him are going to have any chance at this case. But just look at him. Look at his own words. He is absolutely vile, disgusting, what's coming out of his mouth. And I think this is going to be a quick conviction, Nancy.
Back to what we know of the facts. Listen.
The headless torso of a female was found in a trash dumpster in Encino, California, by a homeless man just after 6 a.m. on November 8, 2023. The torso was identified the following month as 37-year-old Maylee Haskell. And now, 4 months later, the autopsy report has been released. According to the autopsy report, her cause of death has been deferred. But given the circumstances of the case, which includes the deliberate concealment of the body by dismemberment and disposal, the manner of death is homicidal violence.
In one moment, I'm going to an esteemed medical examiner, Dr. Kendall Crowns, regarding the issue, was she dismembered while alive? And how, on God's green earth, do they know that? I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure. I want to go now to another special guest joining us. It's Tremaine Hayhoe, joining us out of L.A., longtime friend of Sam Haskell, the Fourth, actor, director, producer, writer, and you can find him on YouTube at Hey Ho Studios, H-A-Y-H-O-E Studios. Tremaine, thank you for being with us. Curious, what was your reaction when you learned Sam Haskell IV, I refer to him as the Fourth, is under suspicion for triple murder, specifically the murder and dismemberment of three people?
Thank you so much for having me here, Nancy, but it was horrific. I mean, when I heard about it, it was shock. It was someone that I had worked with and known for 5 years. And this is someone who at a period of time I was very close friends with. And I just would like to clear the air with Nima and the impression of him. When I worked with him, I was AC. I was assistant camera on a lot of his shoots. He owned a red Epic Dragon. And yes, he had a huge leg up.
Isn't that $200,000 piece of camera equipment?
Somewhere around there. Yeah, $100,000 to $200,000. And he was able to...
Gee, I wonder who bought that for him, his wife or his daddy.
Well, he was able to finance a lot of things. He was actually really smart with his money. And I can attest that he made good money once with that camera. He would make a couple grand, $2,000-$3,000 a day.
You know what, Tremaine Hayho? I like you. I know you're not charged with murder here. But you just poured gas on the flame for me. You're saying he made good money by renting out that camera or using that camera on set, such as even a James Bond movie, that camera, that equipment was used because it's so refined and expensive. But you're telling me he made good money, then why was May working like a slave and paying the mortgage?
I can't attest to how it went after. So this might be a huge shock to you. Me and him had a falling out around 2016. So he kind of had a reputation of kind of being really nice to people, but then he might blow up on people on set. And I kind of always wondered if he would ever do that to me. And eventually he did. And I kind of had
over
to keep
what? Him. I'm curious.
I forget what it was. It was something trivial over a film shoot, film project. I forget exactly what it was, but it wasn't that huge of a thing. And he just really exploded on me. And I have relatives that have mental illness that I kind of have to keep a distance from learning, you know.
But wait a minute, you're telling me, Tremaine Hayho, before you jump up and give me a mental defect defense, you told me you worked with him for many, many years and there was never an outburst. Isn't that true?
That is, no. There were outbursts. He would go off on people, but, you know, getting mad at people on set over things, over trivial things, but nothing violent. It was never anything violent.
But you continued to work with him, did you not?
I did, because it was always more of him talking trash about the costume lady, or, you know, I never could tell whether if he was serious or not. And also, to clear the air, he's completely joking. I think there's in all of his TikToks, that's his form of sense of humor. It might not seem like that. It might not seem funny to you, but we made a short YouTube video.
As you know, as being a writer, a producer, director, actor, many a true word is spoken in jest. Now, let me understand this, Tremaine Hayho. You are telling me that you worked with him and had befriended him for years, and you never found him mentally unstable to the point that you decided not to work with him anymore. You quit working with him because he lost his temper at you. Is it your understanding of the law that a hair trigger anger equals mental illness? Because it does not. Just because you have a bad temper and are used to getting everything you want because you're a Hollywood brat, that does not equal mental illness, Mr. Hayho.
Absolutely, and I'm going to clear the air. I'm not a mental health expert. I'm not anything. It's just like anything when you're hanging out with friends and they kind of go off on you, and I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that, or someone shows their different side of themselves that you hadn't seen before. So I just kind of just distanced myself from him, and I am happy that I did.
Mm-hmm.
May Lee and Sam Haskell are a Cali couple living in the suburbs of Los Angeles when tragedy strikes. May Lee and her parents have seemingly disappeared, and there's no word of their whereabouts.
Well, that's not entirely true. I've got word of May's whereabouts when her torso was found in a dumpster. The PD, police department, managed to track that back to an earlier call where day laborers were asked to take away bags of rocks. They looked in the bags and saw a human belly button. That started the entire scenario. But I want to focus on Sam Haskell IV, now charged in the dismemberment and murder of his wife. Her parents, who traveled all the way to this country to help her work and support Haskell IV and their three boys, she's the one that paid the mortgage and all the bills. They're missing too. Their bodies have never been found. When you don't know a horse, look at his track record. I'd be willing to bet they were dismembered and their bodies discarded, much like May's. That said, who is this guy? There's been a media blackout. Hey, Haskell, did you think we'd forget about May? Just because you and your powerful family have managed to stay out of the headlights and under the radar for all these months? Well, we haven't. What more do we know about Sam Haskell IV other than his father is super rich and super famous? Well, we've learned a lot. Listen.
Every time he's like, oh yeah, my dad's working on like this show, he's doing that, or like, you know, it's a bit of showing off, like, I don't know, what is that, like nepotism?
Like nepotism, question mark? That is from our friends at Investigation Discovery, In the Shadow, Death by Fame. And that woman was too afraid to have her face shown, afraid it would be a career ender in Hollywood. But I want you to hear what is said next. Listen.
All this time that Sam asked me to go on dates with him, it's very straightforward. Let's go to dinner. Let's go to lunch. Let's go on a date. Never, ever did I ever knew that he was married.
We have tracked down friends, colleagues, even his personal trainer. None of them knew he was married with children. That was from our friends at Investigation Discovery, In the Shadow, Death by Fame. It's about Haskell IV. Joining me now is someone who is not afraid to speak out, Bella Snow, joining us from L.A., a former friend of Haskell IV, a digital creator. You can tell by looking at her that she's also a model. She's on YouTube at Bella Snow. On Insta at bella.c.snow, at TikTok at bella.c.snow. Ms. Snow, thank you for being with us. What was your reaction when you learned that Sam Haskell IV was charged with not just murder, but dismembering his wife, May?
When I found out, I was totally shocked because Sam is somebody that I know for like a very long time, almost 10 years. Back when I was just 19, just moved to LA, being in fashion school, and we both work in fashion together. And when I find out the news, like, is that the Sam I really knew? Because Sam was the nicest person to me ever. And we get to know each other, and we do have like a lot of dinner, late night work. I stay at his house many times to work with editing. It was a total shock for me. I'm still shocked now that this happened.
So there was never any hint that he had a bad temper?
There was never. He always like the nicest one to me. I know he does have a little bit more temper to his coworker because he does. During our shoot, he hired like a whole team of production. And I do sense the scent of like being a boss in the production, but he was always being nice to like the talent.
Question, Bella, just going out on a limb here, did he hit on you?
He did, yes. I think that's going to be the first time when we met each other. We do have a little bit more like flirting back and forth, and then we find out we're both in fashion and production, so that's why we collaborate with each other throughout the year.
What did he have to do with fashion?
So he used to have his red camera at the LA Fashion Week, recording the Fashion Week show. And I attend a lot of the Fashion Week shows. And one of the shows, he came up to me like, you look like, because I was walking onto the show and he would love to collaborate. And that's when I told him, I was also a fashion designer. I was a fashion student, just graduated. So we collaborate. He would have a lot of clients in the music industry making music video. And I, as a fashion designer, I would design his client's outfit for the music video and also work in production editing. So I also show him how to edit, and he would ask me back for, how should we cut this? How we cut that? So we would work a lot of late night together in like fashion film. We do a lot of fashion film together also.
Now, you stated that you worked late nights with him at his home.
Yes, I did. I did spend a few nights over. We do have a lot of late night dinner. We spend a lot of time together editing on the computer because the red camera does take a whole day to practically process for us to editing. So we do spend a lot of time together.
Yet, even though you were in the home with his wife and children, he still hit on you?
Yes, because I did not know during the time that we were together that he was married. His dad does have a home here in LA, and that's where we normally do our filming and editing. I have no idea he was married or with May, because that's the only home he lived in. I spent many nights, and there was nobody else ever there. So I would never know that he was married.
So he had another home.
So this is his dad growing up childhood home. He would all have his pool, his treehouse, and he showed, that's the treehouse I was growing up and playing out. Outside, there's also like a dollhouse in the back, basketball court, and everything. And that's where he lived. And I was been in his room and everything, and nobody else lived there but him.
Just before 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 7th, Sam Haskell IV hires a couple of day laborers for $500 to take 3 bags of rocks to the dump. The men open a bag. Seeing a belly button, the men return the bags and the money to Haskell, who claims they saw Halloween props. The workers go to the police, but end up having to call 911 from the parking lot. By the time cops get to Haskell's, Haskell is gone, and so are the bags.
Halloween props. Gigi McKelvey joining me, host of Pretty Lies and Alibis podcast. Gigi, again, thank you for being with us. Wait, so he hires day laborers. What, just are people pawns to this guy? He thinks they're not going to look in the bag? Didn't they say that he told them that they were carrying rocks, but it felt squishy, and they looked in and see a human belly button?
That's exactly what happened. He threw $500 at these 4 men and had them come to the house and said, I need you to haul off these bag of rocks. Felt squishy. They look inside, and to their horror, they see human remains. They bring the bags back and leave them in the driveway, give the money back, call police. But when police arrive, the bags are gone and never to be found again.
Gigi, there was a big screw up right there. You're absolutely correct. The day laborers go, it's a human stomach. These are not rocks. They go to the police. The police go, you got to call 911. They send the day laborers out in the parking lot and they call 911. So the police finally get to Haskell IV's. And what did they find?
Nothing. The bags were gone. They were not there. And I mean, there was a huge time gap there where if it had been addressed immediately, maybe they would have solved this case a lot sooner and it not taken the next day to get him arrested.
And maybe May's parents would still be alive, but maybe, just a maybe. Nima Romani, I guarantee you, this is what Haskell IV was thinking. That these day laborers were undocumented and they wouldn't risk going to police. He thought they would dump the bags of May's remains and be in the wind. Guarantee you, he never thought they'd be state's witnesses.
Oh, that's absolutely right, Nancy. He wants someone to do his dirty work. And who better than someone that may be afraid of the police themselves? And you're right, LAPD really dropped the ball, at least in terms of the investigation at the outset. And you're talking to someone who lives and works in the city of LA. But fortunately, those laborers, they did the right thing. They contacted law enforcement. They called 911, which really makes no sense because that goes to CHP dispatch in Sacramento, which then reroutes the call back to LAPD. So whoever gave them that advice was the wrong advice. But ultimately, they got it right. And who knows? You're right, Nancy. Maybe if they acted sooner, maybe May's parents would have been alive. So this is the type of thing that it's not a shoplifting case. It's not something minor. You're talking about dead body parts. You got to act if your LAPD detectives do better.
Pronto. Pronto. Again, joining me, Tremaine Hayhoe, longtime former friend of Haskell the Fourth. Writer, director, producer at Hayhoe Studios at YouTube. Tremaine, it's not just murder. And I really want you to dig deep and tell me your impressions of Haskell, contemporaneous with the time that you knew him, not now, because what you saw then is what he's going to try and imitate at trial.
A lot can happen in 8 years, and if he is guilty of sin, lock him up and throw away the key. But it is all, again, it's all sad. It's such a terrible situation. I feel bad for his folks. Let me clear the air. His folks were really nice, sweet, consistent. So I feel bad for him
as a person. What did he project? What kind of a person? I mean, we're talking about body parts in a trash bag, day laborers seeing a belly button.
I wouldn't have guessed. And he doesn't seem to be a criminal mastermind. Thank God for those day laborers who stood up for themselves. And it's ridiculous that LAPD didn't take them serious. I mean, this is really horrible. And again, I'm trying not to think about it, but if we can't find the poor parents, it's just all bad. But let me ask you this as a lawyer.
Tremaine,
are you?
I've got a question. Tremaine, you and Bella are in the business, the TV, the entertainment industry. Tremaine, there has been a noticeable radio silence on Haskell the Fourth's case. If you go on and Google him, okay, if you do even that, much less an intensive investigation that we've done, there's practically nothing for months on end. Could that be orchestrated by a powerful PR machine?
Well, that would be actually my question.
Nothing.
That would actually be my question to you as an attorney. What happens if there's a radio silence? If you're not hearing about the case, what does that mean exactly? And how long do these cases take? Is it going to be a long case or is it going to be cut and dry?
Oh, I guarantee you it's going to be a really, really protracted investigation and case because the forensics alone, Tremaine Hayhoe, are going to be, oh gosh, numbing. You've got at least one body. We don't have a COD cause of death because the body was dismembered. We don't know if she was alive when she was dismembered. A lot has to be explained to the jury. Not only that this is May's remains, but that we know based on, hopefully, deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, or fingerprints, or some other genetic material, that he, Sam Haskell, is the person that killed her. That's going to be a labor-intensive endeavor for the medical examiner. But I guess, let me just rephrase my question, Tremaine Hayhoe. How did he strike you? What was his personality? That's what I'm trying to get.
When I was working with him, he was funny and really dry humor, but he did have a temper at times. That's all I'll say. But he never really blew up on me. He'd be more the type of guy to get thrown out of Cheesecake Factory than to commit a crime like this. But again, this is all bad. This is horrible. And I hope they find evidence and that justice is served.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The couple is married in 2010, and as they welcome children, May's parents move in with the family to help with childcare.
Haskell's friends and co-workers agree they had no idea he was married with children. Haskell made no mention of May or any of his three sons in the years they worked with him. Friends that did get close enough to Haskell to run into May say Haskell never stopped to introduce her, much less greet her.
To renowned clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, author of The New Rules of Attachment and Stop Self-Sabotage, Dr. Judy Ho. Dr. Judy, thank you for being with us. What does this mean? I mean, when I look at the gorgeous Bella Snow, and I think about all the times Haskell Four was with her, never mentioned his wife and children, hit on her, and now we know he had, according to others, their words, not mine, an Asian fetish. How does that play into the alleged murder of his wife, who is Asian, May?
Well, Nancy, there was definitely a pattern here. There were other people who reported that. They never knew about his family, that he was married, didn't know who May was, even if they did see her in passing, or even when they stopped in their house. And it's interesting that he does have this focus on a specific physical type. There's certain beliefs sometimes that people may hold if they truly have what is termed an Asian fetish about Asian women, perhaps traditionally being more submissive, and some people are more attracted to that as a value. There are other reasons too, of course, Nancy, but I think what we know is that this person is clearly two-sided. We're hearing reports that he has a temper issue. We've seen reports in the news that May's past friends have said that she's been thinking of leaving him, but she can't because she's afraid that perhaps there will be repercussions because he comes from such a powerful family and she doesn't want to lose custody of her sons. And I just think that there was so much more beneath the surface that he never showed anyone. He makes these social media posts like he knows everything. And yet, in his family life, what kind of father was he? What kind of husband was he? Did he actually threaten May that she can't leave him because he might try to take full custody of the children? There's so much that we don't know.
What does it mean psychologically? You're the forensic neuropsychologist and author that he, according to the state, murdered her, possibly dismembering her before she was dead, and throwing her in a trash bag, having day laborers come to cart off her remains. And when that failed, according to an eyewitness, he disposed of her body in a dumpster with refuse.
Well, Nancy, that shows a couple of things. One is, of course, blatant disrespect, that he would just murder her and then dispose of her in such an egregious way. But secondly, it doesn't seem like he's really truly thought through the consequences. At first, he was going to just ask these day laborers to get rid of these remains, lie that they were rocks. Clearly, the day laborers knew as soon as they picked up the bag that it didn't feel like rocks because it was soft and soggy. And then secondly, the fact that then he thought he would just dispose of it himself and get away with it. Clearly, this is not a person who's truly a criminal mastermind if he thought he could get away with all of these actions. But I think that we saw that there were some warning signs. Perhaps he was obsessed with violence in his own movies and projects. He had weapons all around the house to the point where neighbors were feeling like it would be unsafe for their children to go play in their house. So there was some kind of fascination with brutal killings and violence. And it's just so sad, Nancy, that it ended up in this way, and even more ridiculous that he thought he could get away with all of this by essentially hiring somebody, paying them $500 to get rid of all of the evidence.
And betting on the fact that they would never become state's witness or go to police. Joining me now is Dr. Kendall Crowns, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth, never a lack of business. And he is the star of a brand new hit podcast, Mayhem in the Morgue. He is the esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU. Dr. Kendall Crowns, first of all, congratulations on your new venture, your podcast, Mayhem in the Morgue. Dr. Kendall Crowns, how could there be confusion on the part of the medical examiner that they cannot tell the COD, cause of death, and we don't know whether May was dismembered while still alive?
Okay, well, first, thanks for the congratulations, Nancy. But secondly, the main thing is all you have is a torso. You don't have a head, you don't have the extremities. So the medical examiners are dealing with the fact that they're looking for injuries that they made. They don't have a complete body, so they don't know if she was strangled or she was shot in the head or something along those lines. Unless there's a direct injury to the torso that they can say, oh, that looks like a stab wound, they're kind of left with not a complete body, so they don't have complete information. So they're going to wait and see if they can find any more body parts. But in the meantime, they know she died. They know she was dismembered, so she was murdered in some fashion. They can look at the body, the torso itself, and look for injuries that would show that she was still living if she was dismembered while still alive. And that's hemorrhage in the tissues around the dismembering sites. If you see that, you know their heart was still beating when they were cutting the limbs off and the head off. But again, they don't have the whole body, so they're kind of left with half answers, and that's why they're still hesitant of giving an exact cause of death, but they know the manner of death is homicide.
Back to special guest joining us, Bella Snow, digital creator, model at YouTube. She's at Bella Snow. Bella, and all the time that you knew Haskell the Fourth, you were never told he was married with three little boys, that his wife was the one paying the mortgage while he was living part-time at his bat cave. When you hear Dr. Kendall Crowns describing what happened to May, what goes through your mind?
What went through my mind is that could have been me. Me and Sam, we didn't officially date, but we do date like a few years, and we spent a lot of time together during the same time that he knew May. And he married May, and nobody knew that he was married or have kids. My makeup artist or everybody that worked in the production, nobody knew. We never saw such a big family. We never seen like a wedding photo. He never had kids photo. He posts a lot of social media, but he never posts any of his family. Like, we never seen any of Sam wedding photo. So we never knew.
That's really interesting, Bella Snow, that not only did you not know about May, but he never showed photos of his three boys? Nothing?
No, we never saw a photo of him in like a family setting. I remember he showed me a photo of May, but he showed me a photo of May because he does have a lot of different female girls in his project. And he would ask me about what my opinion is during his casting. And like, oh, what do you think about this girl? And like, oh, she's pretty. And he just mentioned, oh, she's just a model. Until now that I find out that May was actually his wife. When he showed May picture.
Wait, so he asked you, the woman that he's hitting on, what you think of his wife's looks without divulging it's his wife?
Yes. He just mentioned, oh, that's just another model. Because he does take picture a lot of different female models, because at that moment we was working, he was also working on casting of who his dream character is for his this movie that he's trying to make. And he always asked me, what do you think this person? What do you think of this person? And May also came up. And he said, oh, it's just another model. He never mentioned May was actually his wife until I find out now that he married May.
I guess that's a moment you're never going to forget when he asked you to pass judgment on his wife. Bella, you were there to observe the people that he cast. Did he cast primarily Asian women?
Most of the movie he make is based on, like, he kind of wants to make like a live action of an Asian movie, like an Asian college high school. So he do have a lot of Asian casting, also Caucasian, but he does have his dream team. He does flirt with a lot of Asian girls. I do have a lot of Asian friends that we do projects together, and like, oh, she's pretty, but he never flirt with anybody else in front of me.
Would you say that you had a dating relationship with him?
I did, yes. So back then, it's always people know that it's Bella and Sam, because we spend a lot of time together. We have a lot of late night dinner after he got back to work. And we just spend time like normal dating couple do it. And I would never know that he was married because it was never came up, or he always lived by himself.
Bella, I'm just looking at you, and you're so articulate. You're so beautiful. And I just thank God that you never angered him to the extent that you ended up in a trash bag. And I want to thank you for joining us, Bella.
Thank you for having me. It did come to my head many times that that could have been me. I could have been that trans girl in that body bag and become 6 o'clock news. That could have been me.
Even though the media has gone radio silent on the Haskell 4 investigation, the state is still building their case. If you know or think you know anything about the death of May or her parents, please dial 800-222-8477. Repeat, 800-222-TIPS. Thank you to our guests for being with us. Nancy Grace signing off. Good night, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.